And now, an eclipse story that must be heard to be appreciated. An experimental musician brought his weather-controlled synthesizer to the roof of Jack White's Third Man Records yesterday. As WPLN's Tony Gonzalez reports, the so-called weather warlock made a soundtrack based on the atmospheric conditions of wind, temperature, and sunlight.
We are broadcasting from Nashville, Tennessee. It's a beautiful, clear day. Perfect for an eclipse.
92 degrees and blazing sun feed into the synth. Its inventor, a musician from New Orleans named Quintron, turns a few dials only slightly and the sound wobbles. But when the wind slows down, the true composer is obvious.
I got it to work right away, but it was just wretched, awful noise, and working out those kinks in the circuitry, that was the biggest challenges, actually. What we're really waiting for is to hear what the sky sensor is going to do for those in that quick dimming of the UV coming from the sun. That's the thing that it can't be imitated. I have no idea how it's going to react at all.
Down on the street, synth fanatics like Matt Marcus of Maryland are already geeking out.
Yeah, I've gotten really into analog synths and modulars and such. As soon as I heard this, I'm like, I'm going to be hearing filter sweeps all day. It's going to be lovely. You can hear it right now. You can hear the residents.
Anticipation builds, and record store staffers circulate among hundreds outside the shop.
Do you guys need any glasses? Are you good? Awesome. There you go.
And as darkness falls, the soundtrack becomes deep, halting pulses. Pigeons circle. A streetlight flickers on. Everyone is looking skyward.
We have reached totality.
Controlled by UV rays, the synth gives up for a moment, but not the crowd. And then the space-tinged tone resumes, to the delight of little Sam Olku from Mississippi.
Well, it looked like a little moon blocking the sun. And the music is beautiful. The music is so beautiful.
Like nothing he'd ever seen or heard. For Nashville Public Radio, I'm Tony Gonzalez.
In East Nashville's James Casey Homes, an eclipse party stood wrapped. WPLN's Mariba Knight reports they were watching the mysterious shadow snakes flitter across the ground seconds before the total eclipse.
Look straight at the sun. Look up. You see that little bit of spot in front of the sun?
Yeah.
That's the eclipse.
Casey resident Tori Winston adjusts the eclipse glasses on her young nephew. The impromptu viewing party had just begun, and every step of the way, kids were slack-jawed at what they were seeing in the sky. Especially 10-year-old Carrion Winston.
I see sun. It is like Pac-Man now. It's getting darker.
But for his friend, 10-year-old Devontae Webster, today was all about one thing.
Yeah, I'm just ready to see the shadow snakes.
He learned about them in school. Mysterious bands of shadow that race across the ground seconds before totality. Even scientists don't exactly know what they are. The two boys looked on as the courtyard got very dark. Then, suddenly, thin blades of shadow started dancing across the dirt.
Wow, come here, look at the ground!
The shadow snake, it looks amazing. It looked like water.
This was what Devontae had been waiting for all day.
Dad, you saw the shadow snakes that I was talking about?
He had, and it had rendered him speechless. For Nashville Public Radio, I'm Mariba Knight.
You can often tell how old someone is based on the earliest major event they can remember. And for some first graders at Carroll Oakland School in Lebanon, yesterday's solar eclipse may be that moment. WPLN's Emily Siner spent the day with a class whose teacher wanted to make it as memorable as possible for her young students.
This is not a typical Monday for Tammy Booth's first grade class. It's filled with eclipse-themed activities like making glittery moon rocks with baking soda and acting out the sun, moon, and Earth.
Okay, Earth, how are you going to spin? You're going to rotate. And moons, what are you going to do?
We're going to walk around the Earth.
The end result is a basic understanding of what's going to happen, as described by 6-year-old Mark Scott.
When the moon covered the sun had a little ring. And then the moon is in front of it, and the moon has fire on it.
That's good enough for Miss Tammy, as her kids call her. She was in charge of helping all the first grade teachers at the school build lesson plans around the eclipse.
I wanted to find the, you know, experiments that we could do easily with 6 and 7 year olds to where they would really have a meaningful day that they would remember for a long time.
It isn't often that something happens when students are in first grade that will likely stick with them years later. She says in some ways it actually reminds her of teaching the day after the terrorist attacks of 9/11.
That, I think, is the only thing that I can remember that compares to this, because it really marked a specific spot in time that they would remember for a very long time.
You ready? Here we go.
After lunch and a lesson on the importance of safety glasses, the whole school heads outside. Miss Tammy lies down next to her students and they put on their glasses.
It looks like a fight's been taken out of it.
All over the place.
Like a cookie.
Look, Daisy, sit up, sit up, sit up.
And then totality. Glasses off, the field is dark, the moon surrounded by an eerie glow. First grader Wyatt Irwin brims with excitement.
That was my first solar eclipse ever, and my dad told me I'll never see one of these as long as I'm alive.
He says he's sure he will remember this day when he's older, and Miss Tammy hopes so. But for now, she gives her class some other news that is, if not quite as memorable, equally as exciting. No homework tonight. For Nashville Public Radio, I'm Emily Seiner.